This is CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. We've decided in the law show to lighten up lines.
Oh, yep.
We're going to break away from tradition, and we're going to talk about something that's a lot more pleasurable than law. So let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. People are talking and not doing it.
I want some sex.
Yeah, this is on our show today. We're going to be asking whether our lawyers are performing between the sheets. That's what it's all about, Lines. And I guess we all know that lawyers work really long hours, and many work on a billable hour system.
Oh, yes.
As you know, the billable hour system calculates minutes of our working day, so there's no respite for those slogging away. Especially the lawyers in the big firms have targets to meet.
Oh, yes.
And the more billable hours they do, the more valuable they are to their law firm.
Yes.
For those that fail, especially in the big firms, to reach their target, the consequences can really be serious for them.
Yeah.
The billing strain, coupled with the unrelenting anxiety of making deadlines and dealing with demanding clients, is sometimes enough to tell you,
don't be a lawyer. Don't do it. Quickest way to ruin your life. Don't be a lawyer.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why you've never met a lawyer who's happy.
Don't be a lawyer. Yeah, joining us today are two lawyers. First off, we've tickled to host Tessa Castle. She is an LLB and she has her own labor dispute resolution practice. She's also a commercial mediator. Welcome to you, Tessa.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, great. Welcome.
Also an old favorite of ours is divorce and maintenance attorney. His name is Ian Ellis of Johannesburg.
Thanks
welcome
for having
to
me,
you.
Gary.
Yeah, it's great
thank
to have you
and thank you to the listeners.
Then from Pretoria, he's made his way here. I'm going to introduce him in more detail. It's a fascinating story, this. We have Professor Johan Lemmer. He's founder and principal of, listen to this one, Lines, Academy of Sexology.
Wow.
Welcome to you, sir.
Thank you, Gary.
Welcome. Yeah, great. So lawyers have to win their cases. That's what our clients are paying us for. Winning is the name of the game.
Oh, yes.
And as a result, Lines, as I said a bit earlier, we have very little free time. And often our relationships suffer, and mostly so does the sex. And one lawyer's wife complained to a friend. She said, I'd like sex 3 times a week, but I'd kill for it twice a month. So let's ask Tessa Castle. I mean, you work as a lawyer, and you do all this labor stuff. Do you have time for sex? What's going on out there with your friends and your lawyer friends? Yeah.
We're really struggling because, and I'm the only woman on the show, so forgive me, but it's really hard, excuse the pun, or not, because from a woman's point of view, you know, you've got to lie there and you've got to make the right noises and you've got to look up at the ceiling and say, yes, baby, but I'm thinking of a cross-examination question that I've got to ask an applicant in an arbitration, like, did you or did you not? And meantime, I'm supposed to say yes to the left, yes, don't stop that. You know, it's really hard to separate. Get fucked.
I read something very funny, or not funny, I found it quite interesting and funny. It's a sex survey. Now, these sex surveys, we never know where they really come from, but this one comes from Ashley Madison. Do you remember that group?
Mm. Oh, yes, with the cheating wives and the cheating husbands, and then so they got their records divulged all over the internet.
Okay, so listen to what they say. This is according to the survey. They say men who work in trades, like think about plumbers and electricians, they tend to cheat the most. Well, they say that because they work irregular hours and shifts and things
that,
it's easier for them to fly under the radar or do a night call.
Oh, yes. I mean, you call them 24-hour, 24/7, that's how how many hours they work.
And they have the perfect excuse because they're always laying pipes and pushing wires and putting wires through and having to lay a conduit. So they've got the perfect excuse. It's never a lie. There I was just going ahead and laying their pipe down. It's all good.
I'm worried about the plumber's crack, though, because all I can see is the plumber's crack. So that's a complete turn off. Not only do I have to put out, but that's what I visualize. So I'm thinking, by the hour, fuck that. What's your reduced rate? I'll give you cash. Yeah.
Tess, for long. I hope the plumber's not unblocking your pipes. Now, here's one. Here's from the same survey. Here's something really interesting. Here we go. The results show that women in medical professions like doctors and nurses, listen to this one, cheat the most. Absolutely. Ashley Madison cites long hours and high stresses as two possible excuses for their indiscretions.
No.
Is that possible? I mean, does that sound realistic?
I think it's actually the access to anesthetic. So just knock your patient out and then have a field day. You know, there have been those cases. It's a reality, isn't it?
Yes.
And then they could come to lawyers afterwards so we could sue the doctors and claim malpractice.
Absolutely. I mean, try and get a gynecologist appointment. It's like a 4-month waiting period. I mean, hello, what?
So there's... According to the same survey, which I really enjoyed, women in legal are near the bottom of the list of having affairs.
Those ones are very cocky to deal with, so who wants to deal with a lawyer, please?
They're probably writing fees and they just can't get out.
Yeah, well, they're doing filing and they, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a menial task and just give it to the little clerk and let her run off to the court and paginate. Shame. Haven't got time. Can't even find fucking parking and now you expect her to have an affair.
Now, we have someone very special. We may have to just tone it down a little bit. Let me tell you about this gent.
Okay? When you say tone it down, do you mean we've got to be serious?
No.
No, well, Professor... This is a story. There's a man sitting opposite me. He's Professor Johan Lemmer. He's the founder and principal of the Academy of Sexology. And let me tell you a bit about him. He started off as a dominie, of all things. And am I right, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Ingekerk dominie. Yes. There's something that I enjoyed reading about you. You criticized apartheid
yes.
in 1987. Now, that was a scandal for a dominie to do, and you could have been tarred and feathered and had a... something stuck in your heart.
Yes, it was a difficult time.
I mean, how did you get away with it? Or did you have to become a sexologist?
No. I enjoyed it at that time because I, as a dominie, I was allowed to live out how I believe. And it's not so strange to go from theology to sexology. And sexuality is so, it's the core of everything. And we think when we hear the word sex, only about penetration. By the way, I don't agree with Madison's research. I would love to see the scientific, because in my experience working many years with lawyers, both in a professional capacity as well as I have many friends who are lawyers, and it's definitely not true that female lawyers doesn't have high libidos. It is definitely not true. It's also not true that medical doctors have all the time and
I think it's just a discussion point, that survey. Who knows how accurate or where they got the information from?
Exactly. But it's fun and pleasure, and sex is about pleasure. And in the past, it was only about reproduction or relationship. But now, individual sexuality is so important. To enjoy each one, your sexuality, male and female. And many times I have to talk in other shows about the orgasm, the female orgasm, the male orgasm, having pleasure, having fun. And it's such a sad thing that I'm hearing about my professional colleagues in the law profession, that they are so overworked that they don't have time for sex. And
what about poor Tessa? I mean, she's,
exactly,
she's got to lie there thinking about her cross-examination while she's having sex.
And the plumber's crack.
And they say M in, when you see McDonald's, drive past the McDonald's.
Yes.
You see the M. It's very obvious of McDonald's, the M. Every time from now on, when you drive through a McDonald's or next past a McDonald's, think M means masturbate. When did I last masturbate? I must masturbate. Because masturbation is really the basic starting point of enjoying, having fun, having pleasure.
You can't. A prof.
So now you've got to think of masturbating in the draft room.
Not necessarily then.
I don't even remember how to do it.
With pleasure.
What is masturbation? Where from?
You know, Prof, when one looks at you, I mean, you are a character because you are a Durmini, right? And yet, it's still in your soul. And yet, and it's in your brain, and yet you come out with something that is so beautiful. You know, when last did you masturbate?
Gary, I wanted to tell you about women lawyers and having affairs. You know, there was a case in Chicago about a woman lawyer who didn't want to pay her office supplies supplier. So what she did was got supply from her office supplies company, and she was having sex with a guy who was delivering the paper and the ballpoint pens, and she was found out and agreed as a settlement to be debarred for 3 years.
Oh my word.
So yeah, just be careful of the paper cut and where you put it.
Two questions I want to ask Tess and Ian. Can a lawyer accept sex in exchange for legal services? You have this very attractive woman. She walks into your office. She says, I want your services. I know what it's for. We won't say it's a divorce because then it could be unethical. She says, I have a car crash and I need your help. I can't pay you, but, you know, I can kind of do a barter with you.
You can't go ahead and do that, no matter what. As tempting as it could in actual fact be or couldn't in actual fact be, you cannot go ahead and do that because it's not just from the ethical perspective. It can be the long-term ramifications. Plus, at the end of the day, you don't want to go ahead and cheapen yourself. Just now remember, there you might be charging $1,700 an hour. The next one is $2,000 an hour. What happens when they come and they just want to go ahead and pay five, and you can only charge $500 an hour?
Come being the pun.
Yeah.
What about
a price cut.
What happens if there's
it's like off the street from elite escort all the way to street hoe. not good for the rep.
Technically, logically, what happens if a prostitute walks in and she's up for prostitution?
Oh, I've got a good one.
Yes.
I want to tell you about Valerie.
Yes.
So this man, Valerie works for a madam, obviously, in a high class brothel. Mm. So this man in a suit walks in and says, I want to see Valerie. So the madam says, she's our most expensive escort. Are you sure you don't want someone cheaper? He says, no, I want Valerie. Yes, but I bill her out at 5,000 rand an hour. Well, give me 5,000 rand then. Okay, he takes 5,000 rand out of his wallet. She says, oh, but nobody's ever afforded 5,000 rand. Valerie does her hourly job. And then he comes back the next night. He asks for Valerie. And the next night, so are you sure? No one's ever come to see me twice. Takes out the 5,000 rand. Third night in a row. There he comes. Want to see Valerie. But nobody's ever come to me three times in a row. Three nights in a row. 5,000 rand. So she says to him, where are you from? He says, well, I'm from Hoedspruit. Oh, but I've got family in Hoedspruit. Yes, I know. It was your sister. She died. I'm her lawyer. She left you 15,000 rand.
No, that's not noble at all.
Well, technically, that's not payment for services.
Yeah, 5,000 rand an hour.
I absolutely love that. Should we lawyers be banned from having sex with our clients?
Yes. It's unethical. It's not noble to the profession. This is a noble profession.
Oh, really? Really?
Nobility is such a subjective term.
I put it to you. Well, not I put it in you.
No, that's more like I stick it in you.
Tess, I think you've got a story on this one. Should lawyers be banned from having sex with their clients?
Okay, so this is not my proudest moment, but... And mom, dad, forgive me, but the bottom line is, you know, when I was a clerk, I obviously didn't do the ethics course. I failed stats and ethics miserably. So I knew nothing about ethics. And I saw this client, and shame, he was a bit of a loser. And I thought, you know, like the investment company, I see potential. So, you know, we got onto the back seat of my VW Fox, and we did it a few times. And, yeah, 20 years later, he's still a client. He's still coming back for more.
You married him.
I married him.
You see?
What about?
You see?
What about?
Well, I've got a technicality. There's a technicality. You were a candidate. So you can never be responsible.
Thank you. Thank you for that, man. Thank you.
Now, what about, I mean, Tess, he wasn't an emotionally distraught client at the time, because then you could have been possibly taking advantage of him. What was the case about that you needed to see him? And
was he financially distraught?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, yes. Because if we had to get on the back seat of my Fox, can you imagine what he was driving? It was a road accident fund matter. Yeah, I'm a foxy girl. Yeah, it was a road accident fund case. And I mean, you know, you make a man money and he's yours forever.
Okay, so your boss, you were a candidate lawyer, so your principal said, go out and see this client and get him to sign some papers or something. And you landed up on the back seat of your Fox. And you landed up marrying this man, and 20 years later, he's still your husband.
Yeah, shame, because, you know...
now, is he the man that when you're having sex with, you're thinking of the cross-examination?
Unfortunately, the poor guy. So now he knows the truth.
The Fox. Have you still got the Fox?
Or? No, I have fond memories of the Fox. But, after that, I did his first divorce. And in his first divorce, he got everything. But trust me, in his second divorce, he's going to get fuck all.
Be careful who you marry. Never marry a lawyer.
Not a woman lawyer either. They're sharp.
When they're scornful, they'll show you flames.
I think his claim to fame, Tess, is that he sleeps with his lawyer.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so
lucky guy.
I think he tells the whole time that. Yeah.
He's did you at least get him to honour the 25% contingency fee, Bob?
Oh, what are you mad? No, I charge 40.
So the question is, bottom line, are lawyers performing between the sheets or what's going on?
Gary, why would you ask that question? You are a lawyer. Can you tell us about your... No.
Like we only have 20 minutes left. And mine only lasts for 10 seconds.
So lawyers performing between the sheets is a difficult one. Like the other oldest professions in the book, prostitution and lawyers go hand in hand. Excuse the pun.
Exactly. There is one difference. As long as you're a prostitute, you know you get paid before you get fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
Well said, Ian Ellis. To be quite honest, I didn't know about this sexology until I spoke to you about it, and I'm pleased you've come into studio. We've learned something. Did you know, Tess, about anything? Did you know about sexology before this?
No, but Prof, can I have your number? I want to put it on speed dial, I believe.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. I'll keep it a secret under wraps. You know, I'm interested, Prof, because it's very difficult for a lot of people, you know, personally, but lawyers are trained to be Alsatians at work. But you have to be submissive sometimes after hours, and it's very difficult to disconnect. You know, you're an absolute tiger when you're in an arbitration, you know, and then to try and release and to become that soft, submissive, kind of engaging sexual human being is very difficult.
You are not a light switch. You can't switch from this to this to this. We are not robots. Yeah, I fully agree.
I think you whip your husband. Is that the answer?
Oh, God, he loves it. And it's not whipping, it's now a shambok.
The Ottoman.
As I say, a very fine line between pleasure and a protection order. And now somebody's trying to bid for your Volkswagen Fox on eBay. You realize it.
You know, the sad thing is that I gave that car to my stepson. If only he knew.
Well, he does now.
He does now.
Anyway, thank you to the prof for coming here. We really appreciate it. I'll never see the M again
in the same way.
Lovely show. Many thanks to all of you. Tessa Castle, you're a scream, as I always say. Ian Alice, you're not too bad. And to everyone for listening, thank you so much. CliffCentral.com